walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see, and each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord. Changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. So glad you gave.
You open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. Well, one of these days when we stand before the Lord, we're going to realize how important it was to be a witness, to be a teacher, to be a bus worker, to give to missions, to be faithful. We're grateful that one day all that we do for Christ that people don't even seem to ever notice, one day the one that's keeping the record and the one for whom it's being done will remember faithfulness. I sure do want there to be some people in heaven there because of my Christian life and my Christian testimony. Thank you so much for coming. Now, let me say a word to our bus workers. Boy, over the last 8 weeks, you have done a fabulous job. I am just amazed at the great report on our buses, and I'm convinced today will be no different. Now let's start it off right at the end of the service by slipping out quietly, okay? Let's don't, on this last day of the week, sound like a herd of rhinoceroses leaving the balcony to go get on our bus. We know you're anxious. We know a big day's planned. But if you'd leave quietly and make sure those around you leave quietly. Sometimes it's our children that are with us. And so if you'll oversee that, I sure will appreciate it. And if you in the auditorium will not get up and run in and out during the preaching service, I will appreciate that also. Stand out of love and respect for God's Word, and we shall begin to read in verse number 16. Let me say again that this Tuesday is our opportunity as Americans to vote. And as we vote, let us vote principle, not pocketbook. Let us go to God in prayer and ask for guidance and not vote popularity. Let's vote for our future and not for the immediate now. Let's exercise our privilege and get out and vote. I've already voted. And I hope if you haven't, Tuesday, you'll get in line and stay in line until you cast your vote. Probably our country has never faced an election more important to our future. I mean, there's two candidates running and their views are completely opposite. And I hope that you will go and vote. I won't tell you how to vote. I'll tell you to vote. If you want to know how to vote, come see me privately and I'll tell you. The Bible says in verse 16, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation?" This is Jesus speaking. "It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. And the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." You notice, they heard more preaching and saw more miracles than any other cities that Jesus was in, and yet they repented not. They continue on in their unbelief and the rejection of Christ as Savior. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable of Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I want you to notice two statements by our Lord. The statement in verse 28 is a call by Jesus to salvation. And verse 29 and 30 is a call by Jesus to service and faithfulness. May I say that it's His will that all sinners come to Christ and be saved. And it is God's will that all the saved find a place to serve God and serve Him faithfully. I want to use the words of Jesus this morning where He said to sinners, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message to speak very plainly, very clearly, and help my thoughts to be very simple and easily understood. I'm asking you to work in this congregation today. I'm asking you to save every unsaved soul listening to my voice. Use the Word of God to help them to realize that they are lost and in need of a Savior. Use the Word of God to bring conviction upon their soul and their life about their sinfulness and their lost condition. And use the Word of God to draw them to yourself. For you have promised that all who come to you, you'll not cast one out. Lord, save the lost. Stir the hearts of your children. And help us to make our commitment today to live for you faithfully as your children. And again, I ask you to save every unsaved person in this building. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus tells that generation of His day that had heard the message of John the Baptist that they called him a devil. He wants us to understand that the man sent from God, John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said there's not a greater man born of woman than John. He came and preached. He preached repentance. He preached against sin. He preached that people might come to God and accept Messiah. And the people rejected His message and called Him a devil. They heard the message of Jesus. They saw His miracles and mighty works. And still they would not trust Him. He talks about the cities of Chorum, and Bethsaida that heard His message and saw His miracles and refused to accept Him. Why, He said if Tyre and Sidon had heard what you heard, they would have repented. They'd have got right in sackcloth before Almighty God. And He speaks to Capernaum. Capernaum heard more of Jesus preaching and saw more of his miracles than any other city in the ministry and life of Jesus. And yet Capernaum never accepted the Lord. They never accepted him as Messiah. They rejected him. And Jesus said to them, if I had done in Sodom the mighty works and preached what I've preached to you, they wouldn't have died. They wouldn't have been burnt up by fire. And he said, in the day of judgment, I'll be more merciful to Sodom and Gomorrah than I will to those of you that hear the gospel and do not accept Jesus as Savior. There's very little difference between then and now. People hear today the message and turn away. The greatest need of a person's life is Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's the one that forgives of sin. He's the one that saves our soul. He's the one that forgives our past and gives us a new beginning and a new life and a future to look forward to. He's the one that can lift our heavy burdens and heal our broken hearts and cleanse our wasted lives. He's the one that every one of us need. And yet every day men are turning away from him and refuse to receive him as their Savior. Let me ask you right now, have you received him as your Savior? I promise you this is not the first time you've ever heard the gospel. Why have you put it off until now? Why is it if you're unsaved, you've not accepted Christ up to this point? He is the Savior. He's God. He's Messiah. He's the one that forgives our sin. He's the one that saves our soul. He's the one that gets us ready for eternity. He's the one that gives us life everlasting in heaven with him. He's the one that lifts our burdens and gives us peace and joy and direction for our life. How can we not accept him as Savior? Is our mind as polluted as Sodom and Gomorrah's mind? Are we so twisted by sin that we refuse to give up our sin to trust the Savior? What is your excuse up till now? Well, may I say to you this morning, Jesus stands with his arms outstretched to you, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning for our message, and I shall do it quickly, I have seven simple thoughts I want you to consider about the statement of the Lord where he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First thing I want to point out is this. Christ is concerned about every individual soul. He says, come unto me, all ye. I'm so glad that God didn't go through society and pick out just the better ones or the wealthiest ones or the most intellectual ones or the most talented ones. I'm glad that God said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's comforting to know that he cares about the world. But oh, how wonderful it is, Brother Garner, to know that he cares about me. And he cares about you. What's that heavy burden you're carrying this morning? What's that heartache you're dealing with? What's that sorrow that troubles your soul? I want you to know we have a God in heaven who knows you, who loves you, who cares about you, and invite you to come unto him. To come unto him. And he'll give you rest. He's concerned about every individual. Now I get excited when I think about him being concerned about me. But I'm glad I can sit in your home and tell you He's concerned about you too. I'm glad I can sit down with a young man yesterday and told him that Jesus loved him and wanted to save him. And He did. He did. There's not a person in here that God does not care about. And there's not a person in here to whom He does not extend that invitation to come unto Me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's concerned about every individual. And He's concerned about the burdens of sin and the heartaches of life that we have to bear. He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He didn't say, hey, take care of it and then come to Me. He didn't say, clean up and then come to Me. He didn't say, get right, then come to Me. He says, with all your labors, with all your burdens, with all your sins, with your heartaches, with your sorrows, all ye come unto Me, and I'll give you rest. Oh, what a God and what a Savior we have. One who extends His hand to me and you, making no difference between any of us. And He says, come unto Me. Come unto Me. Have you ever accepted that hand? Have you ever accepted that gracious invitation? And come to Him for salvation. Come to Him for forgiveness of sin. I want you to know the greatest burden I ever carried was that burden of sin. Unforgiven. Condemning. It made me feel worthless and unworthy. And it separated between me and God. There's no way I could get rid of it by myself. But God sent Jesus to come and take my burdens and take my sin and take my lost condition and put it upon Himself. And God judged it on the cross so He could extend His arms to me and you and say, come, all ye that are heavy laden, all ye that are burdened down, come unto Me, and I will give you rest. Secondly, Christ is not only concerned about every individual, but He desires to meet the needs of our life. He desires to meet the needs of our life. He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We live in a world that's hurting, and we're hurting. We live in a world where we carry heavy burdens, physical burdens, heartaches, sorrows, regrets, wasted time, wasted opportunities, wasted lives. And yet there is a God in heaven who loves you and cares about you and is concerned about your personal heartaches, your personal burdens, your personal needs. And He says, come unto Me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, I want you to know, first of all, He's able to meet your needs. He's willing to meet your needs. The only thing keeping Him from doing a work in your life is you haven't come unto Him, trusting Him with that need, trusting Him with that burden, asking for His deliverance, asking for His help. Don't you understand the greatest burden we'll ever bear is the sin burden? It condemns us in life, it condemns us before God, and condemns us for eternity unless it's taken care of by God. But don't you understand that God sent His Son from heaven to this earth for the purpose of taking care of our sin? And the way He took care of it, He paid for it by His own suffering and bleeding and dying on that old rugged cross. I'm glad I can tell you that He's not only concerned about every individual, but He desires to meet the need of our life. And it may be that your greatest need today is to be saved. And He is able, ready, and willing to save you if you'll come to Him this morning. The third thing I want to point out in this passage is all who receive from God must respond to His invitation to come unto Him. You know why sinners aren't saved? Not because they're too great a sinner, but because they have not come to Jesus that they might be saved. He said, "Come unto me, all ye. I have rest for you. I have forgiveness for you. I have salvation for you." He said, "All who will come to me, I'll not cast one out." He is ready to receive you. If you have not received the forgiveness of sin, if you are not recipients of the salvation provided by God, if you're not saved and on your way to heaven, then don't you blame anybody else. Don't you blame God. Don't you blame others. You don't have it because you've not responded to His invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is the only reason why men and women don't have their needs met and their sins forgiven. Jesus said in John 5:40, "Ye would not come unto me that you might have life." You say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I've got some heavy burdens." Why are you bearing them alone? Why don't you take them to the Lord? You say, "It looks like Lord would know about them and just take care of them." No, He wants you to ask Him. He wants you to pray. He said, "You have not because you ask not." But He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He invites us to come unto Him. What's your need this morning? Is it a problem in your marriage? Well, may I submit to you, if both husband and wife will come to Jesus and yield yourself to Him and His Word, live by biblical principles, you'll find He'll fix your marriage pretty quick. But people don't want their marriages fixed if they've got to quit living in their sin. They'd rather see it broken and gone in their sin. How foolish we are. Fools we are. When we could have life, we could have forgiveness, we could have help and hope if we just come to Jesus, but we will not come unto Him. The fourth thing quickly I want to point out in this passage is the rest and the peace that every man craves and seeks is received only when we come to Christ. Only when we come to Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You're not going to get that peace and rest by becoming a millionaire. A better job, a new house, a new car, new clothes, money in your pockets is not going to provide the peace and the rest, because it doesn't come from our pocketbook. The trouble is in here. And only Jesus can fix what's going wrong in here. We must come to Him. We must come to Him. The rest and the peace that every man craves and seeks is received only when we come to Christ. Have you come to Christ? Have you ever accepted Him as your Savior? Have you put your trust in Him today? Do you know that your sins are forgiven and heaven's your home? I promise you, if you don't know that, you can't put your head on your pillow at night with peace. I was preaching a couple of years ago up in Oregon, where I just came from. A mother told me this last week. And as I often do when I preach, I ask the question, "Do you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved?" This young man, teenager then, 16, 17, 18, got home and couldn't go to sleep. He kept hearing ringing in his ear, "Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved?" And this went on for several days. And finally he came to his mama and said, "Mama, I don't know that I know that I know that I know." He got saved. Settled it. He's in Iraq now. And was in Iraq and went and now is in Afghanistan. He wrote his mama and said, "Mama, it's good to know that I know." And she had told him that I was coming back. And he asked her to tell me that I know, that I know, that I know. Do you know? Do you know? You'll never know until you come to Jesus. "Come unto me," he said, "all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No religion can give you the rest that Jesus has purchased. No priest or preacher can confer on you the rest that Jesus has purchased. No counselor can provide for you the rest that Jesus has provided for us. And you'll never know it until you come unto Him and accept Him as your Savior. May I say, Jesus stands ready to meet any man at the foot of the cross. Here's what I'm finding today. I'm finding people want to go to heaven. They want their sins forgiven. But they want to negotiate terms with God. They want to say, "Lord, I'll do it, but here's the way I want to do it." Every now and then, knocking doors and talking to people, somebody will say, "Now, preacher, leave me alone. I've talked to God, and I know He's got His way, and I've got my way, and we have an understanding." No, you don't. God does not make understandings like that with fools. And any man that think you can live without God and die without God and it's going to be all right, you're a fool with a capital fool. But may I say to you, if you're going to come to God, you have to come through Jesus Christ. And you have to meet Him by faith at the cross. For there on that old rugged cross, Jesus suffered and bled and died for our sins. Have you come to Him? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Oh my soul, why not? Why would you carry that burden of sin? Why would you go through life bowed down under that terrible burden? Why would you live your life with your mind confused and fogged and with sin? Why would you go to bed with shame and guilt and uncertainty? Jesus stands at the cross today with His arms outstretched, with nail prints in His hands and feet, a place where He shed His blood for remission of our sins. And He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Mrs. Smith and I visited the grave of John Bunyan. I get John and Paul Bunyan mixed up. Paul had the blue ox, didn't he? John had the burdens he carried. We visited the cemetery where he was buried. And on his tomb is a long tomb that covers his gravesite. And when you walk up to it, here is Christian climbing a hill with a cross on the top. And he's got a burden of sins and cares on his back. He's bowed under the load. You come around the end of the tomb, and on the end of the tomb is Christ crucified. You go to the other side, and there Christian is kneeling at the cross, and the burdens are rolled away and forgiven. Oh, what a story picture of His book. What a story picture of the truth of the gospel. If we'll come to Jesus, bring your heavy burdens. Bring that load of sin. Kneel at the cross. He'll meet you there. And He'll forgive them. Take them away. Blot them out. And give you a new life and new hope with forgiveness of sin forever and forever. And then sixthly, coming to Jesus offers a far greater life and future than choosing a life of sin. Look around you at what sin has done to the world and to people. Sin does not make you stronger, more beautiful, more handsome. It does not give you longer life. It does not give you greater happiness. It does not put joy and peace in your heart. Sin twists and mars and scars and kills and wrecks and destroys. Anything sin touches, it mars and makes ugly. Only Satan could tell you such a lie that if you'll live in sin, your life will be wonderful. And only a fool would believe it. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ came to forgive sin. He came to bear those burdens. He came to give you a new life. He came to give you a life worth living and a future worth looking forward to. You do understand that it is God that gave you physical life. It is God that has a purpose and plan for your life from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. It is God who has the greatest possibilities for your life. A life worth living. And it's only God that has a future in eternity to look forward to. I don't ever hear any of the devil's crowd say, "Man, I can't wait to burn in hell." But I can't tell you how many of God's people I've visited and they said, "Preacher, I'm ready to go to heaven. I can't wait to see Him." Whew. Only Jesus can give you that. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? One last thing. The big question today is, have you come to Jesus? If not, will you come to Jesus? Will you trust Him? Will you accept Him? Here is Jesus' word. He's written it down in His Bible. And He says of the Bible that heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. It is a more sure word of prophecy than if you heard a voice from heaven, God tells us. He exalts His word above His own name, He tells us. And He's written this promise in this precious, unchanging word, exalted word. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the question of questions this morning is, will you come unto Him? Now I realize that most of the people here have already been saved. Like me, when I was 15 years old, I came to Jesus and trusted Him as my Savior. And while I told you when I got saved, many of you are remembering in your mind that wonderful time when you came to Jesus and asked Him to be your Savior and give you life everlasting. But some of you could not remember. Some of you don't know. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to miss heaven. But you've never come to Jesus accepting Him as Savior. Oh, my dear friend, there is not one chance in 10 billion you can slip into heaven without coming to Jesus. Why haven't you come? Why don't you lay aside this morning all the excuses and just come to Jesus and accept Him as Savior? You say, "Preacher, I don't know how." Will you just come? We have men here trained to show you how. You won't have to make a speech. You won't be embarrassed. We'll take you aside privately and personally. A man talking with man, a lady talking with a lady. And we'll show you from the Bible, when you come to Jesus, how to receive that gift of eternal life. Why, you can go home today saved and know it. You can go home with peace and joy. You can go home a child of God. You came to church on your way to hell, but you can go home today on your way to heaven. Jesus is the difference. The question is, will you come to Him? Father, that's our message. Just simple, straight.